Good morning. Welcome. Please be seated. It's good to be here together today to worship. It's good to be here today at the foot of the cross, isn't it? Would you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you that we can come to you as many times as we need to let go of all the junk in our lives and to stand up with you in love and grace and forgiveness. We thank you for this time when you are made real with us. Amen. I'm going to start something going. I have a bowl of rocks. I want everybody to take a rock, take a handful, take as many rocks as you want. Just pass this around so everybody gets a chance to have a rock. And if someone sitting next to you is getting coffee, they're at the bathroom, get a rock for them. If you're sitting saving a seat for a band person, get a rock for them. Make sure everybody gets a chance to get a rock. And if someone remembers, well, don't throw any up there. They don't need the rocks up there. But that's what we're doing today. Everybody get a rock. Now, there's one more thing. Today we're talking about revenge and how we like to retaliate. I think we understand that a lot. What we sometimes don't understand is the alternative that Jesus gives us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But we're going to set up the message with a song that I think you'll relate to. Somebody hurts us and they make us cry. And what do we want to do? We want to hurt them and we want them to cry. So this is kind of a song that we understand because it's a song about revenge. You're going to love it. Let us pray together. Lord God, I so get that song. There are people that I still hope are crying because of the way they made me cry. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. But that's the truth. We thank you for this time to come and face those dark places in our hearts, those unhealed places, those poisoned places in our hearts. Thank you for bringing those memories to our minds. And we pray you use this time to heal us and cleanse us. We pray also during this time for those around us that we love, for those who are hurting, for those who are sick. Hear now the names and needs of those who need your healing touch. And I dare to pray now for those who have hurt us. Lord, we pray also for this world that's in such turmoil, for our neighbors who don't have enough to pay the bills, to buy stuff for their kids. Lord, just open our eyes, open our hearts, and show us how to be your people here in this world, we pray. Amen. Today we're doing something a little different. We're going to have three short video clips, and you get to pick which one is your favorite revenge video clip. The first one right now. Okay, those are good. Those are good. Okay, what's your favorite video? The first one was Do Unto Others. It kind of went downhill. The second video was Leave the Seat Down. Many women, that was their favorite. Seems like Tawanda is the yay. Tawanda is the video winner. We understand revenge. We understand wanting to settle the score, wanting to hurt those who've hurt us. I hope they cry a river. Because I cried a river over them. We understand it. We even have bumper stickers. I don't get mad. I get even. But Dr. Phil might ask us, how's that working for you? And I think most of us would say that it's not. I've never been satisfied with revenge, at least not for more than a few minutes. And in the end, I've always felt a little lessened by it. Revenge kind of shrinks our spirits, poisons our souls. because that's not how we were created to live. Today we come to another part of the Sermon on the Mount. Did any of you read that this week? Good for you. Where is that, the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5. Excellent, excellent. Well, today I'm reading from Matthew 5, beginning in verse 38. I'm reading from the Message. Jesus said, "Here's another old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Is that going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues you for the shirt off your back, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. And if someone takes unfair advantage of you," another version says, "if they ask you to go 1 mile, go with them too." This version says, "Use that occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously." You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. Jesus says, "I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you're working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others, the way God lives toward you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To me, these chapters in Matthew are like that guy that had to go on a business trip for a week, and he sits down with his little 9-year-old son, and he says, "Boy, this is what I want you to do. When I'm gone this week, I want you to do here around the house what I usually do." Now, what the dad meant was, "I want you to help your mom while I'm away." But what happened was, the dad said, "Do what I usually do." So when the father returned, he asked his wife, "How was our son this week? Did he help you out around the house?" And she said, "Well, it's really kind of strange. He sat around a lot. He read the paper. He watched ESPN. I don't know what's up with that." You see, when we read the Sermon on the Mount, it's as if Jesus said, "I'm going to go away. And when I'm gone, I want you to do what I've been doing. Copy me. You do the same things." That's what Jesus is telling us here. His life was full of mercy and grace, free from revenge and retaliation. Michael has often pointed out that Jesus never seeks revenge. He says, after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to all of those people, he didn't come bringing a big stick. He came offering love and forgiveness to the people who ridiculed him and deserted him and who crucified him. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about that day when heaven will come to earth, not as a day of fear for what God will bring, but as a day of relief from fear. Because God's ultimate plan is not to bring retaliation, but to bring healing and wholeness and restoration. We sort of think, at least I do, that God's favorite people are the Christians, right? And out of all the Christians, God probably prefers the Methodists most of all. And even within the Methodists, we know that God really loves best the people who are like us, who look like us and act like us and believe what we believe. We know that God loves our kind best, right? Except this passage says something else. This passage says God brings sun and rain to all people, not just good people like us, not just people who follow Jesus. The scripture says God brings his sun and his rain to all of us. God's not going to be constrained by our biases and our preferences. God gives gifts of sun and rain and mercy and grace and skill and talent and forgiveness and favor to all people. And the only way God really favors us and singles us out as Christians is that He asks us to be salt and light. He asks us to make a difference in this world, to bring light of God into the darkness that's here. Genesis says we were blessed to be a blessing. And one of the most striking ways that we can do that is when we turn the other cheek, when we go the second mile, when we give the shirt off our backs. Instead of revenge, we grant grace. Jesus modeled that sort of new justice, a creative, healing, restorative justice that we can also bring into this world. We saw in the first video that retaliatory, do unto others sort of thing and how it just ran downhill. Violence continues to escalate. When we respond with more and more force, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Jesus offers us another way. Despite how it's often quoted, the Old Testament doesn't teach revenge as much as it demands we curb our tendencies to go sort of open loop when someone hurts us. Those passages we quoted, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, were intended to keep revenge from going too far. If someone put your eye out, the Bible said you could only go that far in retaliation, no further. Or if someone knocked out your son's tooth, all you could do was knock out one of his. You couldn't knock out one of his and murder all the rest of his family. It was a restraining order, not a command to retaliate. And by the time of Jesus, the verbal law, the interpretation of the law, had been changed such that Jews didn't put out each other's eyes anymore. If someone's eye was put out, you could pay a fine. You could do something less violent as a means of compensation. But Jesus goes further than that, further even than the tradition and practice at his time. Jesus says, completely give up your right to retaliate. Instead, do something good. Do more than expected. Give more than asked. Be like our God, who does the same for us. What a stunning idea. That thought alone, that we don't have to retaliate, that we could be gracious like God, that's enough for me to want to be a Christian. No other God tells people to behave like this, or even makes us aware that we can behave like this. Have I told you I love the Sermon on the Mount? I believe that when we finally begin to act Jesus' way, all the world will fall in love with Him. Heaven will have come to earth. In the passage we read, Jesus gives three examples, little snapshots of what living His way might look like. He said, if someone hits you, take it. Offer to let them do it again. But refuse to stoop as low as they have. You are better than that. With God as your Father, you don't have to hit back. Or, if someone sues you for the shirt off your back, give them your coat as well. In Bible times, most men wore only two upper garments. They had a coat, a shirt, and a cloak. That was kind of like, it was a coat. It was more like a worn blanket. That made me think of a snuggie, really. A cloak is a worn blanket. And in biblical law, you couldn't take the cloak from someone overnight because that might be their only means of warmth, their only protection. If they're really poor, that's all they have, and so you couldn't take that from them. But Jesus says, you know what? If they're going to take your shirt, go ahead and give them your coat too. God will provide. God will take care of you. You don't have to insist on your legal rights. You don't. Better to walk around shirtless, topless, snuggie-less than to become what they are. One of the favorite quotes that Michael has listed on his Facebook page is this: if to defeat the beast, we have to become like the beast, then the beast has won. Jesus says we don't have to be like the beast. In fact, you were created to be something altogether different. Jesus' last example is very much a product of his environment and situation. During his day, it was the law that a Roman soldier could conscript someone to carry his equipment for 1,000 paces. That was a Roman mile. The accompanying soldier could make you or me or our strong teenage son go with him and carry his huge pack for a mile if he wanted to. But Jesus says, if you're asked to do that, just carry it too. And let that enemy soldier know that there is a different way to live. A way that doesn't plot revenge. A way that doesn't join an armed resistance movement. A way that doesn't meet force with force, but instead meets force with love. Now, if we were an occupied country with soldiers standing on our corners, and we actually did what Jesus tells us to do here, what might we be called? We might be called traitors. Or maybe we might be called Christ followers, who know that you don't have to hate to be right, and you don't have to hurt to be strong. These are just examples, illustrations from Jesus' time about how to live God's way. I want to hear from you some examples in our time of how people have lived Jesus' way. Does anyone come to mind? The Amish. The Nickel Mile shooting is a perfect example. A person came into the school, shot the Amish children, you remember? And that group of people took care of the wife and her other children of the shooter. That's the Jesus way. It's a better way. Can you think of other examples? I thought of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who, though he hated the Nazis and worked against them, while he was imprisoned, he treated his Nazi guards with the same respect that are due every human being. Mahatma Gandhi wasn't a Christian, but he read the Sermon on the Mount, and that's where he got his ideas for this resistance that isn't violent. I thought, here in Alabama, of the civil rights activist who chose the high road while still standing against the terrible wrongs they faced. When in your life have you been able to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give the shirt off the back? I know there have been times you've been able to do that. Thank God for that. Your light shines bright in the world when we live like that. But for each of us, there have been times probably when we haven't done that. When our desire was for that person who hurt us to cry like we have cried. Where are you still holding out, hoping for revenge, waiting to retaliate? Who comes to mind when you think of that person you wouldn't mind seeing hurt? What would it look like to you, for you to reflect God's generous love in spite of the provocation you've received from them, in spite of the anger and the frustration you naturally feel? How would that story play out if you lived God's way? Quite literally, we can ask, what would Jesus do? When he was mocked, he didn't respond. When he was struck, he took the pain. When he was forced to carry the absolute worst piece of Roman equipment on his own back, that cross on which he would be killed, he took it. And when they nailed him to that beam, Jesus prayed for them. The Sermon on the Mount isn't just about us. It's about Jesus and his blueprint for living that he modeled for us and calls us to copy. What Jesus asked of us, he has already faced himself and shown us that it can be done. We can do what God asks us to do. We can forgive those who hurt us. We can lay aside our right and our desire to retaliate. We can show the world the way we were created to live. Or, as our passage said, I love this, we could actually grow up because we're kingdom subjects. Now go and live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. I hope you've had your rock in your hand, been holding on to that most of this service. The truth is, most of us have been holding on to angers and hurts and the desire for revenge a lot longer than the 20 minutes we've been in here. Jesus invites us to put down these heavy bags we tote around of hurt, to drop these rocks, and to live the unencumbered lives we were created to live. As this closing video plays, I invite you to come and to put your rock, just drop it, in that cleansing bath of water. Let go of that grudge you've been holding and that revenge that you've been wanting to exact from someone else. Now, the truth is, some of you aren't ready to do that yet, and that's okay. For those of you, I hope you just keep that rock, because one day you and God are going to be off somewhere, and He's going to help you let go of that rock. As the video plays, I invite you to come and drop these angers, these unforgiving places, these desires for revenge. Just drop them in the bowl. Because we are forgiven, we can forgive. Thanks be to God. Amen. As you go this week, full of God's love, when you see the rain and when you see the sun, know that it's not just for you. And know that God's forgiveness and the power to forgive others is not just for us, but it's even for those who have hurt us. I pray this week you go in God's love and God's power and live Jesus' way. Amen.